This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2305. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded July 24th, Alaska, Canada, Congo, Cuba, Eritrea, Europe, India, Indonesia, Iran, Israel, Korea, Kurdistan, Kuwait, Lithuania, Mali, Myanmar, North America, Palau, Poland, Romania, São Tomé, Sicily, Slovakia, Switzerland, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Walt Somniv heard some more tests from Alaska, the AARP Ionospheric Research Project, on July 23rd. On 6900 kHz at 1939 UT, he says also scheduled on 9.6 MHz, between 19 and 21 and 23 to midnight on that date, and the following date between 17 and 19 and 21 to 23 on the same frequencies directed toward the south and south-southeast, that is, more or less toward his location on the coast of BC. And he was hearing it the next day, July 24th, tuned in at 1856, with a 40 kHz wide digital signal centered on 9600 in Nemasset, BC at great strength as usual. Zach Leungus asks him what it sounds like. He says it's a wideband digital signal, better to see on a waterfall than actually listening. It looked a lot like what I see with OTH radar. And Tony Pavick in Hope, BC, says he was hearing HARP from midnight UT on 9600, a pause at midnight 29 and resuming a very strong signal between 9580 and 9620 kHz. No word yet about any further tests, but those two frequencies reported so far are 6900 and 9600 kHz. I found CHU Canada time signals missing for some dates in July from 7850, but still there on 3330. Richard Langley in New Brunswick got the answer from the technical officer at the National Research Council. He said between July 13th and 16th, we had problems with the 7.85 transmitter. Temperature in the transmitter room was extremely high due to the outside temp, and the transmitter was frequently off. There could also be other factors. We are observing the frequency on the air to make adjustments in the future. But now there's another Canadian we're wondering about. Trenton Military, CHR with flight weather on 15034 in the daytime and 6754 USB at night. As of July 23rd, I had not run across it for some time in random checking, so wondering if they're still on the air or gone again. About Brazzaville's Radio Congo on 6115, we reported last week, came back on the air on the 12th of July, but not heard since. In fact, Manuel Mendez in Spain, who had been discovering it, says, I've been checking every day around 05 and between 1730 and 18 UT, no trace of the station from since July 12th as of July 19th. But then, on July 24th, it's back. He says heard from 1810 until off at 1831. French news and comments. The transmission cut off abruptly. Very weak and best audible on lower sideband. 13780, the new frequency of Radio Havana, Cuba, has continued to show up, but it seems to be weaker than it was initially, and of course not on a terribly reliable schedule, on the air in the mornings and in the afternoons, sometimes, and also sometimes on 15230, one of their older frequencies. From someone at RHC, Chris Campbell in Ohio, got an actual current schedule for RHC dated March to November of this year, and showing not very much, just those two frequencies, 6000 and 15230. And furthermore, self-contradictory, showing 6,000 both for English at 23 to 05 UT and for Spanish at midnight to 06 UT. Also, supposedly in Portuguese to Buenos Aires, close but no cigar, between 22 and 23 on 15 to 30. And it says French, Arabic, Esperanto, and Creole go out on streaming, which they misterm real audio. But the schedule does not mention 13780. Maybe they consider it experimental. James Branham says, I've learned that RHC's multi-language programming does stream online instead in modern streaming formats than real audio when the website is working. When it is, the streaming link is on the right-hand side of the page, and they show the schedule of upcoming languages for the next few hours. By the way, the streaming link starts with icecast.tevo.cu, as pointed out by Jean-Michel Aubier in France. Via BCDX, this info from Kai Ludwig and Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener in Germany about the target radio for Eritrea called Radio Irina, E-R-E-N-A. Transmitter site had been Armenia on 9585 kHz. It originates in Paris or Göppingen, started in 2009 by RSF, the International Media Rights Organization. However, the shortwave broadcasts were no longer being heard via Armenia. However, podcasts sometimes work via erena.org/live, or more specifically, zeno.fm/radio-arena, all lowercase. And now filed adjacently under Europe, speaking of RSF via Mike Cooper, Reporters Without Borders has published a new report to protect Europe's public media. You can read all about it at rsf.org. There's no denying it, Europe's public service media are experiencing a series of crises on multiple fronts, economically, technologically, and politically. Also a story about this, July 21st at Agence France-Presse. Trump's decision to dismantle his country's international broadcasting echoes the offensive being waged by certain political forces against public radio and TV across Europe, says RSF Director General Thibault Boutin. India, GRX in Brazil, caught another of those English spotlight segments within other language broadcasts. Akashvani's external service, Wednesday, July 23rd, at 1828 to 1839, otherwise in Arabic, on 9620 via Bengaluru. A surprise from Indonesia, a new shortwave frequency, 7300, right next to an old one, which is often reported by Ron Howard and others, RRI Nabire on 7289.953, as measured by Zach Liangas. 7300 is carrying a different program, number 3 from RRI, the site is yet unknown, and I believe this is not normally on shortwave. Ron Howard reports it on July 20th, Sunday, from 1205 UT, using remotes in Indonesia. And soon also reported by Australian DXers in Indonesia, Mark Fay and David Foster. Mark says the audio ended at midnight UT and the carrier went off 2 minutes later on July 21st. Via remote in Australia, Zach Liangas measured it on 7300.044 with program 3 from Jakarta from 0935 past 1101. Zach Liangas found something about this on the WRTH group saying, amateur radio communities transmit RRI relay signals to certain communities on Java simply to evoke the memory that RRI broadcasts were once on that frequency. David Foster in Bali says he was alerted to this by a Facebook group translated as Loyal Listeners of Medium Wave and Shortwave in Indonesia. They don't know the location, but it could be an illegal amateur radio relay of an RRI digital broadcast from a satellite receiver. Strength seems too good to be a pirate. It was first mentioned there on the 5th of July. Ron Hart was still hearing this. RRI Program 3 on 7300 from 1305 UT on July 23rd. After the news, they play an extremely abbreviated version of the patriotic song For You, Our Country. About that clandestine for Iran, we reported last week on 15540. From the NASA fly sheet, Wagner in Australia says, Radio Omid Iran in Farsi was heard on the 17th of July at 1917 UT, and it went off at 1927.45. It appears to be on the air one day a week only, that is, Thursdays. The previous report was on Thursday, the 3rd of July, from Tony Rogers in the UK. transmitter site France. If you'd like to hear Israel Radio on shortwave via WRMI, Ron Trotto in Illinois had it on 9395 at 0405 UT, July 23rd. That's during a WRN relay block. It may not be every day, but that was on a Wednesday. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight reports about 4XZ in Israel. The naval or military station heard most evenings around 1730 UT on CW 9962. The ID repeated over and over is VVVDE4XZ. But on Saturday, 19 July, there was a great deal of traffic, he says, past 1730, and still at 2100. Also heard Sunday, 20 July at 1445, via remote in Cyprus. It has often been suggested that 4XZ is an espionage station rather than one for military communications. John Hudak in southern Ontario was picking them up at 2258, July 20th on 9963, fair strength. And Walt Solomon of NBC had good reception at midnight 45 UT on 9963, July 21st. In the British DX Club, Frank Bast in France reports that Voice of Korea in English at 1305 UT was heard on 15180 instead of 15245, July 21st, the same transmitter, offset plus 200 Hz. Kwon Dae-gun in South Korea says, radio and TV broadcasts to North Korea operated by the South Korean government agencies have been sequentially suspended since early July. That is Echo of Hope, Voice of the People, Jiayu FM, K-News, Jiayu Korea Broadcasting. And Richard Langley forwards news from 38north.org. North Korea has scored a major victory in the battle against information. Since May, the number of hours of foreign radio programming into North Korea has been reduced by almost 80%. Given the direction of both U.S. and South Korean administrations on this issue, that level could fall even further over the coming months. Furthermore, Ron Howard reports about Shokaze or Seabreeze from JSR in Japan on 6090, heard via remote in Taiwan, Wednesday, July 23rd at 1300, when it's only on one frequency, but there was jamming, a new development, strong North Korean pulsating jamming. With the absence of those other stations, North Korea has a good number of idle jamming transmitters at their disposal, so he believes they wanted to put them to use, hence the new jamming of Shokaze, which had not been jammed for a very long time. Adjacent alphabetically under Kurdistan Non, another report about jamming from Wolfgang Büschel in BCDX. Around 11.5 megahertz, a total switch-off of both the radio war services, no signals July 18th or 19th from the Emirler site of Erdogan's security forces, Osmani culture program and music jamming, and nothing observed from the Kurdish national radio program Dengagel, presumably from the Armenian relay site anymore. A side event of the recent peace efforts between the Kurdish national opposition since the mid-70s in Turkey, and their armed struggle against the state of 1922, and President Erdogan, who wants to use this to secure votes for the next elections in another term. And Kuwait, the U.S. relay site on shortwave, has been off the air. However, I have very reliable information that USAGM is continuing on at least some parts of the transmission system improvement projects in Kuwait. Lithuania about the medium wave relays on 1386 kHz. Alexander Myatlikov in Ukraine and Mauno Ritola in Finland report that the BBC Russian podcast have been heard at 1830 to 19 and 20 to 2030 UT, probably Monday through Friday only, with English in between at 19. Terry Kruger in Florida reports that Radio Mali on 5995 brings its transmitter up as early as 0530 UT. The switch to 9635 remains nearly spot on at 0800. And it's back to 5995 in their evenings. I heard their token English Saturday, July 19th at 1851 until 1904. Listening via remote in the Canary Islands, Manuel Mendez says it started at 1847. Via remote in Thailand, Ron Howard reports Myanmar Radio 5985 with their Friday night live show, simulcast of a TV variety show from 1434 UT past 1530 on July 18th. Via International Vacuum Internet, AM, FM, and Shortwave, World of Radio 2305. a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from Peter Robinson in Preston, UK, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute via money order or check on a U.S. bank, too. Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. North American Pirates, sometimes sea beers can resist playing music. Rick Barton in Arizona reports a strong and steady signal on 27025 AM, July 18th at 1900 until 1923, playing songs by Earth, Wind, and Fire and so forth. And the pirate station YHWH he hears more often than not, various times between 04 and 06 UT on 7475 AM. In fact, I was still hearing a carrier there as late as 0610 on July 24th. In the NASA flash sheet, Jerry Lineman in Texas reports Hope Radio Palau on 9965, July 20th at 0900, listed as 100 kilowatts. He says Palau's commercial electric rate in 2024 was about 45 cents per kilowatt hour. So I guess it costs about $75 to $100 per hour just for the electricity. If they run at half power, the savings would be considerable. Ron Trotto in Illinois heard Polish radio in English via WRMI 9455 at 0345 UT Wednesday, July 23rd. That is another hour of otherwise unspecified WRN relays at 03 Monday through Friday. Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight says, I received an EQSL for my letter and report to Radio Romania International from last February, and I did not even request one. They say they've only just received new designs for this year and are in the process of clearing the backlog of listener reports. A new card will be issued every 2 months. Now at least they are filling out the reception data themselves. Previously, this was left to the listener, which contradicts the whole object of the station actually confirming the reception of their broadcast. From BBC Monitoring via Mike Cooper, the Deputy Chief of Mission at the U.S. Embassy in São Tomé e Príncipe has guaranteed that diplomatic ties between the two countries remain strong, despite recent policy changes made under the Trump administration, the privately owned Telenon website reported on 16 July. There had been uncertainty about the future of relations following the closure of the VOA relay in São Tomé, some interpreting as a sign of retreat by the U.S. However, Michel Frémy of Radio du Monde replies, too late, Mr. Trump, to avoid a divorce with this country. Since then, São Tomé e Príncipe and Russia have concluded a military cooperation agreement, including training of troops and deployment of Russian aircraft and ships in the Gulf of Guinea archipelago, as stated in a notice in the official gazette of the Russian government. Sicily, Tanino Marabello in Messina tells us that the shortwave antenna of Rai in Caltanissetta was demolished the afternoon of July 23rd at 5:39 p.m. Previewing this, the Italia Nostra website said, we will forever lose one of the physical and visual landmarks of the Caltanissetta cityscape. We will forever lose the modern symbol of the city. As I recall, the shortwave frequency was 9515. Adjacent alphabetically, news of a major demolition at the shortwave sites group from Slovakia. The Rimavská Sobota shortwave site is being demolished in three phases from April to July this year. The area to be redeveloped, the rubble removed by October. That news via Ian Baxter. Switzerland non from the Worldwide DX Club. The next broadcasts of music by C.M. Obrecht are scheduled for Friday, August 1st, via Channel 292 Germany, at 17 hours on 6070 and at 21 on 9670. Should you like to intercept some video transmission from drones, Roger in Germany has found some generalized frequency information. There are three primary ranges, around 1200 MHz for long-range analog video signals, from 3,000 to 3,700 MHz. Due to new Chinese transmitter, this range has been expanded from a shorter range, and approximately 5,800 MHz is commonly used for FPV video transmission on drones and control via Wi-Fi and firmware interfaces. UK Non, it seems that Channel 292 Germany may again use the midnight to 02UT span on 9670. Andy Reid in Ontario says BBC has moved from air to 9750, presumably via Uzbekistan. From QST via Andy Robbins in Michigan, a couple of special event amateur radio operations for Saturday, August 2nd. From 12 to 20 UT, KD3KA in Wexford, Pennsylvania, the Allegheny Valley Amateur Radio Association and Skyview Radio Society are celebrating the KDKA Shortwave Network Centennial. The frequencies are CW7040 and 14040, LSB on 7240, and USB on 14240. And concerning the Alcatraz without the alligators, the Vaca Valley Radio Club W6VVR, special event station W6P, from Alcatraz Island on August 2nd, from Vacaville, California, actually, on 7200 kHz, 14250, and 28500, three stations on the island during the time stated, on SSB, battery power. See W6VVR.net. Very sad news this week, the passing of George Jacobs. There have been several tributes to him. Alan Holder first saw this on WRTH-FB. George Jacobs, one of the most well-known names in the world of HF radio communications. Former chief of VOA Frequency Division and ham radio operator W3ASK. He was involved in the design of many shortwave transmitting stations, both in the U.S. and elsewhere, through his consultancy firm, George Jacobs and Associates. Alan says, George was a good friend of mine. We kept in regular contact over 33 years and shared interest in philately. It was a pleasure to meet him and his wife, Bee, on a visit to the UK in the summer of 97. George had a special interest on the influence of solar activity on HF radio propagation and co-authored an excellent book on the subject. Kim Elliott replies, he was a giant in the history of Voice of America. I knew him since the mid-70s. He was always good to me. At the President's Task Force on U.S. International Broadcasting, he spoke glowingly of my future at VOA. But I did not climb the career ladder. My writings and my reporting on VOA's communications world displeased senior managers. But George appreciated my efforts, says Kim, and that made it worthwhile. Wolfgang Büschel says, George was one of the strong personalities of the USA and the entire non-communist world for decades in his professional posts. Takahito Akabayashi quotes from a VOA publication about him. He is the recipient of the prestigious Radio Engineering Achievement Award of the National Association of Broadcasters for a lifetime leadership in broadcast engineering. For more than a half century, Jacobs was an associate editor of CQ Radio Magazine and a contributor to the prestigious World Radio TV Handbook. From the RFERL website, July 18th via Mike Cooper. A U.S. court granted Radio Free Europe Radio Liberty's request for a preliminary injunction in its lawsuit against the U.S. Agency for Global Media over its failure to pay RFERL its congressionally appropriated funds. Judge Royce Lamberth ruled that USAGM must disperse RFERL's remaining congressionally appropriated funds for fiscal 2025, concluding that the agency's conditioning of funds on the imposition of onerous new grant terms and failure to engage in good faith negotiations with RFERL violate the law. Via David Cole and Mike Cooper, a story you must read in the Washington Post of July 23rd, headlined, Carrie Lake moves to consolidate her power to dismantle Voice of America. Lake has ordered VOA Director Michael Abramowitz, who has been on administrative leave since March and is a lead plaintiff in a lawsuit against her, to accept a new position in Greenville, North Carolina, or be fired. Looking at the WRMI schedule, I spot yet another new time for World of Radio. To be confirmed, it is Sunday at 2300 UT on 9395. On Thursday, July 24th, I was surprised to find WWCR Transmitter 4 back on the air. 9980, not shown on the schedule. It was some ambient music mixed with five-digit numbers and Morse code. What in the world is that? This was from TuneIn at 2016 UT until 2100, and there were no announcements. Roger in Germany found the answer at WRMI on FB. WRMI will be participating in a special project along with our partner TDF in France and WWCR and WBCQ. As scheduled, when you can hear the broadcasts on WRMI and TDF, five separate audio tracks broadcast on five different frequencies for each transmission. We do not have the exact frequencies that WWCR and WBCQ will be using, but that must be some of it. But what is this exactly? ChatGPT said it looks like Requiem for Radio. Full quiet flutter. Not a regular WWCR broadcast, but a live 60-minute performance piece by Amanda Dawn Christie and collaborators. A site-specific interactive sound artwork commemorating the now-demolished RCI shortwave towers in Canada. Ben Cobb informed us July 18th that on July 24th, FCC would vote to delete a small number of rules from those governing international broadcast stations. It appears none of these address long-standing policy issues such as domestic shortwave broadcasting, high minimum power levels, or meddlesome restrictions on advertising content. Instead, it seems the rules to be deleted are fairly minor technical items like how power is measured. Medium wave items on IRCA via Mark Connolly about the closure of WJTO in Bath, Maine on 750 kHz, according to a Facebook posting by Robert Perry. WJTO would be signing off for the last time Sunday, July 27th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. A very hard and emotional decision, they say. It wasn't made lightly. But the good news is that they will continue webcasting some of the programming. I see in the NRC AM log as of a year ago that WJTO only had a construction permit for 750 to move from 730 with 1 kilowatt. Via Rick Now, according to the WLS Music Radio Facebook page, this Saturday evening at 22 hours Central, there will be a Big 89 return to WLS for one night, a two-hour program instead of the usual talk format. That is UT Sunday, July 27th at 03 to 05 UT. Here's a sad example of a station where no one is paying attention. KKLF 1700 in Richardson, Texas, that is the Metroplex. July 21st at 04:45 UT, I tuned into a 10-second clip of a song in Spanish, followed by 6 seconds of dead air. And exactly the same thing was repeated over and over and over in a loop, still as late as 06:40, almost 2 hours later, and probably beyond that. As you may have heard, drastic cuts to funding for public media have now been approved. You can read all about it and what stations are asking you to do to help them at the website of any of your local or anywhere public radio or TV stations. Propagation outlook from SWPC issued July 21st. Geomagnetic field expected to be at active to G1 minor storm levels August 1st to 4th and 7th to 14th. ANKNC's peaking at 20 and 5 on August 2nd, 7th and 13th, 25 and 5 on August 9th and 11th. Minus dates of 5 and 2, July 25th to 31st, August 5th, 6th, and 16th. Solar flux down to 125 August 3rd, and up to a peak of 140 by August 8th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors, inviting you to hear me again next week, Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2305 with a standard disclaimer.